Welcome back to StadiaCast, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. This is our 100th episode. How's it going, Lloyd?
It doesn't feel like it's been 100 episodes, for sure. It also is kind of weird that we've been doing this for 2 years. It's kind of blows me away that we've been at it for so long. It's awesome. How's it going, Bill?
That didn't even occur to me that it's been 2 years. Like, that kind of... that blew my mind that we've been talking about this stuff for 2 years. This is episode 100, so thank you everybody for being here for episode 100. Honestly, we don't have any special thing for episode 100 planned because I'm bad at that kind of stuff. Not because I don't think it's worth celebrating, because it's awesome, but I'm just bad at that kind of stuff. So let's just get into the regular episode as we normally would. But Lloyd has a finger. He's holding up a finger with a Band-Aid. Go ahead.
With a Band-Aid. I have a Band-Aided finger to jump in with an interjection. Our first episode was March 21st of 2019. So it hasn't quite been 2 years, but it's been almost 2 years worth of episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I didn't even know that. Okay, well, before we get started on the actual show, if you're listening to this on your podcast player and you want to watch the video version of the show, head on over to nerdnest.tv. We record the show live every single Sunday morning at 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern, which is very early for poor Lloyd because he is not on the Eastern time zone. If you are here with us live and you want to support the show, there's a bunch of ways that you can do that. You can click the join button right down below. And if you click that, it's going to tell you why you should. There are also super chats at the end of the show. We respond to each and every super chat that comes through. So if you want to make absolutely sure that we see your messages, make sure that you send them in through there. And if you're not watching live, if you're here after the fact and you want to help support the show, then you can click on that applaud button. And YouTube now tells us who does that. So thank you very much to everybody who does that. Lastly, we do now have merch and a bunch of cool stuff like this this Nerd Nest sticker that I have yet to actually stick to something. But if you are interested in like Nerd Nest stickers or shirts or coffee mugs or stuff like that, right here on our YouTube channel, nerdnest.tv, there's a store and you can click on that and it'll take you to all of our various stuff. And right now we've got our 10K like thank you version out there. That's going to be available until the end of March and then it's going to go away forever. All right, Lloyd. We start each episode the same way. What have you been playing, man?
A little bit of kind of old school gaming. Stadia released Shantae, Half Genie Hero, and Shantae's Risky's Revenge on Stadia. I'm a big fan of the Shantae games from playing the original one on my buddy's Game Boy Color. Which was weird. I really wish I would have bought a copy of that because that game is impossible to find for not a lot of money. And then Risky's Revenge was on the Nintendo DSi. Shantae Half Genie Hero Ultimate Edition came out as a Kickstarter for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PlayStation TV, Wii U, like just a bunch of weird platforms. I ended up backing that one on Kickstarter. And it's kind of fun to have it come full circle and be playing it on Stadia after that. So I put up first looks of both of those games. They're really good. Risky's Revenge being way more original to the or way more of a classic game because the original came out on lesser hardware. And it is just the sprites are bigger, but then there's these nice like full screen image cutscene type stuff. Where Shantae Half Genie Hero is a full 3D world. It's still a 2D platformer, but it's a full 3D world with rotation and stuff. And you have a really cool cel-shaded, like Shantae and all the other characters are cel-shaded. So they do like the crazy idle animation, but it looks like it's hand-drawn. Mm-hmm. Really, really fun. I've been really enjoying playing through these again. And the best thing about Stadia is you can jump into the game, play it, stop and then pick up later on your phone or pick up later on your TV or pick up later on your iPad. It just makes making my way through these games just so much nicer.
Yeah, I played a little bit of the one that's not pixelated. That's the Half Genie Hero one, right?
That's right. Half Genie Hero is the 3D cell shaded sprites or hand drawn. Look like hand drawn, but it's not hand drawn.
Okay, I thought it was hand drawn. I had no idea that it wasn't hand drawn, but I played a little bit of that. The very beginning made me feel very stupid. So like I got in there and like you're talking to your uncle or whatever, and he's like, "Go to the item shop." And so I go to the item shop, and there's a guy there, and he's right. like, "Item shop's not open." I'm like, "Okay." So I would leave and come back, talk to the guy again. Item shop's not open. I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do? So I had to go to two other buildings first.
Yeah. Check out the whole of the city to find out what every place in the city does.
Right. But it told me to go to the item shop, so I just skipped those. But the other two buildings that I needed to go to are between my uncle's workshop and the item shop. So I understand the mechanic there, but it just made me feel really, really dumb. But I really like the locomotion of the characters as they're moving around, I think is very good.
I agree. They did a fantastic job with the animation in this game. Like both the animation of you making it look like it's cel-shaded hand-drawn art, even though it's a 3D object. But everything that's going around outside of it, when you're in the main town, if you've played a Shantae game before, you know what the main town is because it's pretty much the same in every one. There's different layers and you're going left to right. But this time when you're moving, the whole stage is kind of a circle and it kind of rotates around as you're doing it.
I thought it would loop around to the other side, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't do that, which is really weird. I don't understand why it doesn't do that. But the best thing is when it's rotating around, you can see how all of the other character models, they're all 3D objects that are rotating around as well. So it looks like really well done hand-drawn art with like everything else rotating around. Still looks like it's hand-drawn art. They just did such a beautiful, beautiful job with this game. And it's the Ultimate Edition. It has like 8 different games inside of it because through the Kickstarter, they unlocked a bunch of different modes and they all came out at different times. So I can remember being part of the Kickstarter, every couple months, I'd get a PlayStation 4 code. It's like, here, redeem this for blah, blah, blah mode. And I'm like, okay. And redeem this for blah, blah mode. And then after a while, I just didn't redeem them anymore because there was just so many of them. Having it all in one package like this has been great. So anyway, that's all I have to say about Shantae. Love the game. It's a hell of a lot of fun on Stadia. And it's definitely worth a check if you're looking for a nice, fun 3D platformer with a little bit of potty humor to make you giggle if you have the mentality of a 12-year-old.
Everybody has a mentality of a 12-year-old at the right time. I have been playing... I kind of jumped back in on Baldur's Gate. They recently updated the game. They added in the druid class, so I made myself a drow druid, which I don't know if that's like against the rules of D&D or something, but it kind of seems like kind of a weird thing, but I decided to go with it anyway. And I've been playing exclusively on controller this time because I've got my wife and I have set up like a little area over there with like a little couch and a coffee table, and there's a TV on the other side over there, and I've got a Chromecast hooked up to it. I've been playing on there. So I'm forcing myself to just use the controller, and I feel like maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong about this, but I feel like they may have updated or maybe put some stuff on the screen, like updated the UI to help people who are using a controller. I can't remember exactly how it was before, but it's definitely better now.
Yep.
As opposed to when the game launched, as far as controller support goes. The game is still super buggy, not a huge surprise. It's early access, but man, it is really cool. And I forgot how good the graphics are, and I forgot how fun the fights can be. I have not yet unlocked the ability to shapeshift into a giant badger, which is really the reason why I was excited about playing the druid, but as soon as I can, that's what I'm going to be doing. I can't wait for it. But, you know, I've really been enjoying it, and Baldur's Gate is awesome, and I feel like the controller support is getting better. You know, if you want to wait until it's out of early access, I completely understand. especially because, you know, we've already had our game saves kind of wiped once because they make huge updates to the game because it's in early access. It's very, very alpha-ish. And, you know, if they make a huge update to the game, sometimes the game save that you have just won't work as you move forward. So they kind of wiped us out once already. And I just used that as an excuse to start a new character, which is really fun. So I'm looking forward to playing more Baldur's Gate 3, but that's what I've been playing on Stadia this week.
That's awesome. I really want to jump back into Baldur's Gate. I wanted to play more of the story, so that's kind of why I dropped off, realizing where I was in my playthrough. And it's like, okay, I want to play more of the story, but I also don't want to have to replay this part of the story. So that's the problem with early access, where they're regularly like removing your progress. You're going to have to replay things over and over again. But again, it's also a D&D game where you want to try out different character classes mm-hmm. and different things. So you'd be doing that naturally anyway. So it's not the end of the world by any stretch.
Yeah, and so Lloyd and I and some of our friends have been playing Edge of the Empire, which is a tabletop RPG. We've been playing it through Tabletop Simulator. And playing Baldur's Gate 3 has made me like, ooh, I kind of want to do a Dungeons & Dragons version sometime in the near future. So maybe we'll change it up and do that at some point in the future as well.
Right.
Before we move on, I just want to say a quick thank you to the people who are sending in ridiculous super chats. Consino, Sammy, William, Johnny, and John. Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much for the support. We'll respond to all of your messages at the end of the show, but we really do appreciate the support at that level. It's absolutely bananas, so thank you. All right. News. We've got a bunch of news to talk about. Now, I had a lot of people sending me messages, are you going to talk about this? Are you going to talk about this? And there's a bunch of negative articles that just came out. And I want to kind of address it real quick as a whole, and then lightning around a couple of finer points, and then move on and talk about all the other stuff that's happening this week in Stadia. So,
sure.
As a whole, whenever you're talking about a gaming company or a film, any kind of company, really, there's always decisions that get made that somebody might look at and say, that was a bad decision. And most of the time, nobody hears about it. Then when you turn around and you fire a bunch of people, they're going to be, I'm not going to say motivated, they're more likely to share those bad decisions that they did not agree with.
Yep.
And a lot of times, if they didn't get canned, you never would have heard about that bad decision, and it would have just moved on, and nobody would have known about it except for the people who made those decisions, and would have kind of gotten glossed over. So when we saw that they were shutting down SG&E, and they were going to be letting a bunch of people go, which, again, I hate that. That's terrible. I knew that we would shortly thereafter have a bunch of anonymous sources. And I'm not saying that it's bad that it's an anonymous source, because these people, they're going to try and get jobs in the industry. And, you know, they got to protect their livelihoods. But I knew that we would see a bunch of anonymous sources that say all of these bad decisions that have happened. So that I'm not surprised by this at all. Anything to add there, Lloyd?
No, that's like, we kind of chatted in the pre-show, and I've chatted about this with a few people. Like, what happens is you have all these bad things that happen in a company, but no one talks about the bad things because they want to work at the company. They want their job. It's not like bad where people are getting abused bad, but it's bad where, oh, this has been really cool, it didn't happen, ah, oh, that sucks. But you get all these stories over the lifetime of a business, and then the business goes down, and people chat, not maliciously. It's like, okay, well, I'm not bound by an NDA anymore, so I'm going to chat. It was worse when bars and things were open, because you'd have a bunch of people leave a company after getting laid off, go to the bar, and everybody in the bar would find out all the stories, and then you get like a Kotaku article or something after, because people heard and then contacted the people that had said the thing, and then there's some confirmation of some of that stuff. So this is a really weird collection We'll go in air quotes, bad news. But it was to be expected after a bunch of people lost their job, which is incredibly terrible, especially in this in this day and age with COVID and everything like that. So this doesn't surprise me.
Right. So then the next thing that I want to say is I saw a bunch of people who were saying things like, you know, calling Jason Schreier a liar and saying that his like that he made it all up and that it's a hit piece or whatever. I don't believe that for a second. I think that I'm sure he is somebody who very consistently sources all of his stories. When you say journalist, I think Jason Schreier is a gaming journalist. Sometimes Correct. People throw that label on me and I'm like, mm-hmm. no, I'm a doofus in his attic. Yep. I am not a journalist. Jason Schreier is a journalist. So people shouldn't be giving him a hard time because he's just telling us what people who worked at Stadia and some still do work at Stadia are telling yep. him. That's exactly. kind of his job. So
you see a lot of comments out there where everyone's like, well, Jason has it out for Stadia. Jason hates Stadia. I don't think that has anything to do with it. Maybe what happened was he realizes that there's problems at Stadia, finds out that all of SG&E gets laid off and then says, hey, I have a bunch of contacts. Time to go hit them up and find yeah. this stuff out because this is a juicy story. There's more to be said here than has been said publicly. So I don't think he has an issue particularly with Stadia where he wants to destroy the platform, but I do think he knows a lot of people in the industry, knows that there has been some issues, so he's the perfect person to call upon all of his sources to see if he can figure out what happened.
All right, so let's lightning round I picked three of the things that people talked about. We're going to go real fast for this because I want to get to the other news. Number one, yep. Stadia missed their projections for how many controllers that they thought that they were going to sell. Not talking about the Founders ones. We're talking about mm-hmm. the Premier Edition. What is your take on that quickly?
So the article was basically around Stadia failed to move about 100,000 controllers, whatever the number is. It's some yeah. large number that they had anticipated selling in the first year. That was a huge issue. Well, I'm gonna silver lining that one. Those 100,000 controllers, I'm assuming, were then earmarked for the Cyberpunk deal, which got so many people interested in Stadia, mm-hmm. gave Stadia its first burst of good news. So this is what happens with a company that is agile. They have a setback, they have a big issue, they pivot, and they do stuff that is good for the future of the platform. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly that happened, but to me that makes perfect sense. Okay, we didn't do what we wanted to do. We have all these controllers. What do we do now? How about we give one away for Cyberpunk, which we just secured a day and date release through whatever means they did, whether they sent engineers, sent money, did whatever. This is what happened. Why don't we get more people interested that way? Perfect way to pivot, turn bad to good, and I think it worked out really good for Stadia in that regards.
Yeah, and if you look at PlayStation and Nintendo and Xbox, they've all had similar times where they have missed projections, sometimes by a lot. So I that doesn't surprise me. I also don't think it spells doom and gloom, but it does kind of suck. You know, I would hope that they would sell more. Lightning rounding the second part, Kojima. Kojima, the guy behind the Metal Gear series, he's the guy behind Death Stranding, or his studio is the studio behind Death Stranding.
Yep.
I'm not a Kojima guy. I don't care about his games. I don't think I played Metal Gear Solid 1 on my friend's PlayStation once. I didn't think it was a bad game, but I didn't own it, so I didn't care because I couldn't keep playing it. So I have zero nostalgia for Kojima stuff. When Death Stranding came out and I saw the ads for it, I was like, I don't know what the hell is happening here, but this is some weird stuff, right?
Sure.
I'm going to pass on this one. Apparently yeah, he wanted to put a horror game, a cloud powered horror game on Stadia. And reportedly, Phil Harrison said, yeah, no thanks. Which is kind of, in my opinion, an incredibly foolish mistake to make. When somebody wants to put a game on your platform, unless it's wildly offensive, like a simulator where you go in and shoot up places or something. You know what I mean? Right. Unless it's like that kind of thing, you say yes. Like you yeah. welcome, especially when it's somebody. I don't care about Kojima, but when it's Kojima, you say yes. What are your thoughts on this, Lloyd?
I don't know. I mean, we have one small section of the talk. We found out the quotes where he was interested. Google ultimately wasn't interested. We don't know any more of the details.
You're right.
I know Kojima has a long history of being difficult, so maybe there was a couple difficult meetings. Maybe Kojima found out about the money hats that Google was flying to Ubisoft to get and 2K to get the big ports ready for launch, and he wanted an equally as large money hat, but didn't have the goods to show off because he had just recently restarted Kojima Productions after getting let go from Konami, had to wait a year, all that fun stuff. There was a bunch of stuff that went around there. So I would assume that these talks took place probably right around the time of a Death Stranding, getting ready for the Death Stranding launch, and then into like the early part of Stadia's life. So again, we don't know the details. I'm disappointed. I would love to see a Kojima game. I've loved all the Metal Gears that he's been involved with. I haven't played Death Stranding, which is weird because I was super hyped for that game, but you know, sometimes you can't buy and play every single game. So it would have been great to have a Kojima game on Stadia because he has the cachet with his name where people see Kojima and they're like, oh my God, I got to play it. But there was probably a lot more that happened behind the scenes. I really, Phil Harrison being in the industry forever, a lot of people are calling for his head, which isn't the right way to go about this personally. But I mean, everybody can do what they want. For him to just say no to Kojima, sounds weird. It doesn't sound like something that would happen, but again, we don't know the details,
right? And this is not coming from Kojima, this is not coming from Stadia, this is coming from third party people that are talking yep. to journalists. So maybe they have an axe to grind, we don't know. Yep. I will say this, that when there's a lot of people who saw this because this just came out, because people got fired and then people start talking, but what a lot of people don't realize is this Kojima thing, apparently this happened back in June of last year, so this is yep. not related to SG&E closing or anything like that. It just nope. seems like for some reason Google decided we're going to walk away from this one, and we'll never know why, and that's right. totally fine. The last go ahead.
I was going to just really quickly, a lot of times what happens is you miss targets a bunch of times and funding gets pulled. It happens all over the industry. So there's many reasons why this could happen. I'm sure Kojima, there was a picture from Jade with Jade and Kojima from early on as well. I'm sure there was some talking prior to the SG&E going down. a lot of talking happening when Stadia first came out. And then for whatever reason, it just didn't work out for the two companies.
That's right. All right. The last thing that we'll lightning around, and this one's going to be super fast, that there are people who are saying that Google was just bad at game development. They have a mindset that is really focused on not the creative process, and making video games is a very creative process. And to me, when I was reading that, it made me say, okay, well, it's probably a good thing that they decided not to do first-party games because apparently they were bad at it. Sure. But also, keep in mind, pandemic, they froze all hiring. Sundar Pichai said, you know what, we're going to slow down hiring right now. And a lot of the studios that they had through SG&E, they were like at not full staff. So yeah. Why didn't they hire more people? Because of the pandemic. And that could be a huge influence on this. Anything to add before we get to the other news?
Just Google is bad at game development. That's duh. Sure. Game development is hard. I've said this a number of times over the last little while after SG&E closed. Games look like trash, play like trash, perform like trash until right before launch. So when you're showing a snapshot of what your game looks like, it's not going to look good. It's going to have programmer art. It's going to have bare textures. It's going to have environments that aren't fleshed out at all. And then all of a sudden the game gets close to launch, things get pulled together, everybody comes together to make the game look good, and then 6 months before launch or 8 months before launch, 12 months before launch, the game actually starts looking good and playing good. So yeah, it takes a long time for games to be developed. Developing a game is way different than developing a web app or a camera app or something else, because it's equal parts art to code, where a lot of programming is more code than art. So it doesn't surprise me that running a game studio in Google didn't work out on its first kick at the can. Again, we don't know all the details, but this is unsurprising to me.
All right, let's move on to something super, super awesome. We finally got a look at Pixel Junk Raiders and how State Share is going to work. If you are unaware, Pixel Junk is a series of games where basically every time they bring out a new Pixel Junk game, it's a new genre. So they keep tackling different things each time. And Pixel Junk Raiders looks to be very Risk of Rain, procedurally generated roguelike style of game. But then they mentioned State Share. And when they mentioned State Share, they said, we'll find out more later this week. Well, we finally know more. I'm going to read this to you guys really quickly if I can bring this up on screen. And that's muted. Good. So it says here, in the game, players take advantage of what we call imprints in each stage. These imprints are called turrets and gadgets and other weapons that will help you take down the alien forces holding the indigenous people hostage. Once you capture a screenshot or gameplay clip from your stage, State Share ensures that your game state is saved as well, allowing others to play the same procedurally generated stage. So first off, when you do your screenshot or your State Share thing, not only does it copy the seed, if you are playing procedurally generated games, you know what a seed is. If not, go look it up. it saves the seed, but it also saves the stuff that you have put down in the world as like these ghosts for the next person to find. So I'm playing through, I hit the State Share, I've got a turret, I've got a grenade launcher, I have a giant sword or whatever, and I've placed these throughout the world as I'm fighting the monsters. I State Share, give it to Lloyd. Lloyd Sure. sees those ghosts, and then he can use some kind of like in-game currency. This is not a currency that you buy, I don't believe, but it's like an in-game currency that you earn by playing, and then you can go up to that ghost and say, activate this thing that Bill was using in there. Does that sound accurate to you from your reading, Lloyd?
It does, and what a novel way to do State Share. I mean, State Share is novel to begin with, but I assumed that if I took a screenshot, it would take the level that I'm on, the mission that I'm on, all the normal game stuff, bundle it together as a state, and people be able to play from there. But this is different. This allows for iterative gameplay on a level. So I could be the best gamer in the world. I'm not. But let's say I'm the best gamer in the world. So I take on the level first. I put up all the base areas that I want, the turrets, whatever, because I'm very good at video games. I'm not, but I'm very good at video games. I'm the best gamer ever. So I beat the game. I beat that level without any problems. I save my state. I send it to Bill, who's a great gamer, but needs a little bit of help. So he puts down his turrets and things and plays it, saves it, and then sends it to my son. So now I've played it. Bill's played it. And now it goes to my son, who maybe is less skilled. In reality, it would be my son who'd be the first pass, but it doesn't make for a good talk. So you could have multiple people playing the same level, and then each one gets easier and easier and easier, potentially because of all the additional turrets that are built out, and all the, not only just the turrets that are built out, but they're built up in specific locations that make sense for that level, giving the people that have played the first pass, second pass, whatever, the ability to jump in. Again, we don't know if that's entirely how this is going to work, because this is just a little interview. But everything that I've read about it has been really, really intriguing. This is amazing. And this is something that has never been done before. And I love never been done before things on Stadia, because it has such an interesting conversation gets generated after of what could come after this. But when we already have State Share with with Hitman, way different than this state share, mm-hmm. which means that every single developer coming up with their own version of state share is going to continue to bring these new interesting ideas that no one else has ever thought of. I'm really excited for Pixel Junk Creators.
Right. And like when, let's say that, you know, Lloyd starts, I go after him, his son goes after me, and then Lloyd can pick it up where his son left off, basically, and kind of complete the circle. And then when you finish, like with the first person to actually beat the level, they see everybody who, they see all of the ghosts next to them at the end.
Yep.
That is incredibly cool. I'm very right. excited for this game. And it comes out tomorrow. And it's a Stadia Pro game. So that means we don't have to buy it unless you don't have Stadia Pro.
Yeah.
And you can get Stadia Pro for less than the cost of the game.
I was going to say, like, the game is $20, which is a great price for a Pixel Junk game. Or 2 months, that'll pay for 2 months of Pro, which will get you access to probably 10 games. Mm-hmm. Plus all the 20 that already exist in the library that you immediately get access to. So this is going to be a really, I hope that this is going to be a really popular game, and it's going to get a lot of people to try Stadia, at least for the free trial, to jump into Pixel Junk Raiders, because I've played Pixel Junk since way back in the PlayStation 3 when Pixel Junk 1-1 came out, which was Pixel Junk Racers. And then they did that 1-whatever up until they went to like PlayStation 4, and then that became Series 2 for Pixel Junk Monsters 2. Mm-hmm. And they've kept iterating on this stuff. So this is a long-running franchise, which every game, a lot of the games are different. This is going to generate a lot of hype. I want to see what happens come tomorrow when this thing starts firing on all cylinders and you get all the people talking on Twitter about it.
And if you find if you have a cool world and a cool state share that you want to share with us, and maybe we'll make a video about it, you can head on over to nerdnest.tv/stateshare and submit that. And yep. maybe we'll do a video about it like we did with the Hitman stuff. Or if you're right. watching this, you can just click on the link in the description down below that'll take 100%. You there as well.
And InLead corrected me. There's 28 in the library if you sign up today, not 20 something. It's 28. He wanted exact numbers, or they wanted exact numbers. So there you go. Exact numbers.
There you go. Speaking of games that have seeds that are randomly generated, there was a bit of a kerfuffle recently with Terraria. Which right. was leaked as coming to Google Stadia by, I think it was Peggy. I think it was.
Peggy, I think it was Peggy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was leaked that it was coming to Stadia, and then out of nowhere, I can't remember who this guy is, but he's
CEO.
The CEO. Thank you. The CEO of the company that makes the game said, you know what, Google has kind of screwed me over when it comes to my account, like my Gmail account. This is completely unrelated to Stadia. But he was ticked off and he said, I'm not working with you anymore. We're done. I'm not bringing my game to Stadia. Well, we have an update to that. It says here, now let me bring this up on screen. As you may have noticed, we had a ton of issues to kick off the year stemming from our locking down of Redigit's entire Google account in early January. After a month of pushing, and with the immense support of our fans, Google finally reached out and was able to provide a lot of transparency around the situation and restore access to all of our accounts. Due to the hard work the Stadia team has put in, as well as our partners at 505 Games, we have decided that we will allow the upcoming launch of Terraria on Google Stadia to proceed. I had to throw that of in there. The Terraria Stadia build is based on the DR Studio's 1.405 latest build and is currently at Google for certification review, which means it's going to be coming soon. I don't want to rehash all of the drama from before.
Sure.
I want to say that Terraria is a fantastic game 100%. And you should play it if you haven't. So when it comes to Stadia, absolutely is going to be a game that I'll be playing yet again. I already bought it. Like, I don't know. I can't even count how many times I bought it. I think I bought it on Steam multiple times for me and my son. I bought it for my son and I, sorry. No, me and my son. I think I did the correct grammar the first time. Then the Wii U, and I think on the 3DS, and I think on the Switch, maybe. So that's a lot of time. And on iOS, I believe. There's a lot of times that I bought it, and I'm going to buy it again. It's awesome. It's awesome. What are your thoughts, Lloyd? You going to buy this?
Yeah, I've also bought Terraria on multiple locations, PlayStation, Nintendo platform of some type. I don't know, remember which one I bought it. iOS, you name it. I own it multiple times as well. This whole thing could have just been solved another way, but we said after the cancellation that it'll probably release anyway, because these contracts are written up so much in advance that being able to, one party to be able to pull out because of something like this just seems unlikely. So yeah, of course it's coming, but man, what, why did there have to be so much drama around this? I fully understand that this person couldn't access their YouTube or Google account. I get that, but man, this was kind of the start. This was the bleeding edge of the wedge of the Google sucks news flood that has come over the last couple of weeks. And it was just like, oh my God, why it smacked my head against the desk for a game that was predictably was going to launch on the platform anyway. So I'm super glad it's coming. Terraria needs to be on all the platforms. It is such a great game, along with Minecraft and a bunch of other games. I'm super glad it's coming to Stadia, but man, it would have been nice if it came without all the drama.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. All right, let's move on. There's another game that is coming to Stadia. Now it's official. This is a game that's been kickstarted. And let me make that bigger, and I'll hit play so people can see this. Skyclimbers, so everything that I had seen from Skyclimbers made me say, I don't know if there's a game there. They have never shown actual gameplay. So now they showed some gameplay, and it looks very interesting. Lloyd, have you seen this gameplay?
I have.
What does it remind you of?
It reminds me 100% of Valhalla, or Valheim, sorry. It's, if I hadn't played Valheim, I'm like, oh, this is a really cool way to do survival. And then I've played way too much Valheim, more than I'm willing to admit, over the last little bit. And I'm like, this looks like anime Valheim. I dig it. I can get behind this.
Yeah, and that's exactly the, and we did not talk about this ahead of time. So it's funny, because that's exactly the same thought that I have. In the last week, I have sunk way too many hours into Valheim. That game is incredibly addictive. But that's exactly what this looks like. It looks like, I love the way you described it, anime Valheim. But it also has like Pokemon stuff in there where you can have like pets and stuff. This looks really cool.
It does.
The animation, this is super pre-alpha. Because it's pre-alpha, man, these animations look bad. But I'm sure that all of it, like you said at the beginning, you said earlier, games tend to look terrible right up until they don't. This definitely feels like, I like the transparency here. They're showing what they're working on. I'm very interested. After playing a billion hours of Valhalla in the past 2 weeks, Valheim, thanks, man. Now I'm saying it wrong. This looks incredibly interesting to me. I'm going to fast forward a little bit in the video. They started, they start building with the stuff, and like the building stuff is happening is like very Valheim-like as well. So speaking of Valheim, I'm not sure if people are aware. They had an update this week, and when I started it on Steam, it said, do you want to launch Valheim or do you want to launch Valheim in Vulcan?
Yeah.
Which got me very interested. Do you think that there's a possibility of Valheim coming to Stadia? I know you've been playing it on GeForce Now, but do you think it's coming to Stadia?
I hope so. If it hasn't happened already, people, People from the developer relations team at Google Stadia need to send an email or phone, just a cold call with the makers of Sky Climbers or Valheim. Sorry, because we're talking about Sky Climbers, but Valheim is what we're really talking about. And see if they can secure a release on Stadia, because I think that would be the perfect game for Stadia with State Share and all those really great things. You could post a screenshot and people can immediately jump into your Viking village and help you take on a boss. Stuff like that would be so good on Stadia. Mm-hmm. But yeah, back to Sky Climbers. They had shown a little bit of a concept art. They said it's like Breath of the Wild for climbing. It's like there's some Minecraft elements. There's Rust here. There's Ark here. Mm-hmm. And then Valheim came out.
And Pokemon.
Which would have probably... Yeah, in Pokemon, of course, because you can collect like hundreds of different creatures and have them as pets and fighting for you and things like that. If they would have just come up with this Kickstarter now, they could say, yeah, it's just like Valheim, because that's essentially what it is. It's Valheim with Pokemon elements. I'm really excited about this. The really good news here is that they offered up Stadia on their Kickstarter. Immediately, their Kickstarter exploded. They're a team of like six developers, and mm-hmm. They've made like millions of dollars I don't actually, that's Valheim that has six developers. I'm not sure exactly how many developers Sky Climbers has. I think it's fewer. I think it was like three people or something. I'm wrong here.
Three people.
Yeah. And they've been working on it for a number of years. So it's not like this is something that they just threw together. I'm excited. They have a developer agreement with Google now, so they can make and develop games on Stadia. I'm sure they have access to developer kit. They're looking at getting on Stadia Makers, which means that the Stadia Makers program isn't going anywhere, which people are saying because mm-hmm. of SG&E going down, Makers was going to disappear and Stadia is dead. So all things that were not true, because, or at least we didn't know they were to be true. We assumed that they weren't, or I assumed that they weren't. This game looks fantastic. I'm stoked that it's coming to Stadia, and I can't wait to play it because I love Valheim, and Valheim with some Pokemon elements makes me even more excited.
You know what doesn't make me excited? The thought of booting up my PS4 to play a game and not being able to fit said game on my PS4. There's a story that apparently Call of Duty, if you want to have the full Call of Duty experience, it will not fit on a 500 gigabyte PS4. Like that is like the fact that I don't have to download things on Stadia is the main, like right now it is so addictive. And has changed the way that I play. So like Outriders, which is coming to Stadia later on this year. I can't remember. April 1st. Outriders is coming to Stadia on April 1st. It's coming to all platforms. It's a day and date thing. And on some platforms, they have a demo. Now, I could have downloaded the demo on Steam if I wanted to. I didn't feel like downloading the demo and installing the demo so that I could play for a few hours and then uninstall. Like, that was kind of a hassle. So I just ended up not bothering. I haven't played Outriders. Is it Outriders? It's Outriders, right?
Yes.
There's too many out things in the game.
There's way too many by like 50 these days. It seems like every game being announced has out or rider or cast in it or something. It's confusing for my old brain.
Yeah. So that game, I ended up not playing the demo, which, you know, to be fair, I've heard not great things, not like it's bad, but a lot of people were just like, it was absolutely whelming. The not having to download stuff is so amazing. And I've tried so many games that I otherwise would not have tried. Like when Baldur's Gate 3 updated and they said, hey, everybody, you've got druids now. At this point, I may have uninstalled it on my computer. I may have uninstalled it to free up room for something else. And then I would have said to myself, you know what? I'd have to re-download that, reinstall it, probably make some room by deleting something maybe in order to play it. I'm just going to pass. And I wouldn't have been playing it. The fact that I don't have to download anything is so huge for cloud gaming. can you think of games that you would not have tried if you had to download them?
I can tell you there's probably 50 games. Excuse me.
Oh, he's choking.
I have a bit of a cough this morning, so I'm trying to mask it. And thankfully, it hasn't been when I was talking, except for that time. I there's probably 50 games on Xbox Live Game Pass that I haven't downloaded because I have to worry about the storage on my little Xbox Series X beside me, uninstall things, install things. I hate that. I hate managing that stuff. I hate wanting to play a game and then having to wait a couple hours because for some reason that game is downloading way slower than my internet should allow it to download. Mm-hmm. But it's coming down at megabits a second instead of megabytes a second. I just hate that now. I buy a game on Stadia. The icon to play shows up 3 seconds later. I could click play and I'm in the game like a half minute later after buying the game. That ease of access is not available on any other platform. It doesn't matter if it's another cloud platform because you either can't buy games on them or the games are tied to another service that you have to log into. Mm-hmm. Stadia is the most frictionless way to buy and play a game for me. And like you said, I also have an addiction to that because I don't want to download stuff and manage storage on any other platform. I just want to choose a game, play a game, and not have to think about stuff. Because I think too much during the day already. I want to come home and not think. Stadia has been perfect for that.
There you go. All right. Last thing that we'll talk about, and then we'll hit the crowd play, which is where we talk about the things that you guys have sent in, and of course your super chats, which we'll probably start with those, because there's a lot of those that came in today. Destiny is getting full cross play across the platforms, which is absolutely massive. Now, this is not happening until season 15. I looked at currently we are in season 13, and they're going to start like testing it in season 14. And then I Googled it. I said, how long is a Destiny season? They said roughly 10 weeks is how long it is.
Yep.
But I believe that they said in the actual blog post, it's like probably fall. So we'll probably in fall is when we will have full cross play on Destiny. I think that that is going to be huge, not just for Destiny, but for the not just for the people who are playing Destiny on Stadia, because it's going to be definitely better for them, but also for the platform as a whole, because there's a lot of people who are like, I'm not going to bother trying it because I don't have a reason to try it. Meanwhile, they're playing Destiny. Yeah, Destiny exists on Stadia and they could play it, but it doesn't have cross platform. So if they're on console B, they can't play with their friends if they're trying it on Stadia. The ability for you to be playing on your PC and then decide, you know what, I'm going to play on my Chromebook down in the living room instead. And being able to do that and still meet with your friends is absolutely huge. You look at all of the games that tried to compete with, I'll say, World of Warcraft. You know why they all failed? Not because, well, they didn't all fail. You know why they all, you know why most of them failed? It has nothing to do with the quality of the game. It had to do with the fact that if I went over there, I couldn't talk to my friends. My friends were doing things in World of Warcraft, and I was like, well, I mean, Star Wars The Old Republic is fantastic, but my friends are playing World of Warcraft, so I'm going to go back. And it was really difficult to take everybody and move them to a different location. So I think this is going to be huge for the platform as a whole.
I agree. The one big complaint, it's like, sure, Destiny is free on Stadia, but you can't play with anybody because there's not enough people. Like the joke of the five people that play Stadia moved on to other games. So immediately having an expansion to the number of people you can play with is great. I also saw on our Discord people are saying that I can't remember who exactly said it, and I wouldn't call them out without asking first. So it's probably better that I forgot their name. I play Destiny, but all my friends, my real life friends that I game with, have splintered out to other platforms. So one plays on PlayStation, one plays on Xbox. No one's playing on Stadia. I can now play with my friends again. So it's experiences like that that is going to be huge. And the fact that someone that hasn't played Stadia sees or before sees all their friends playing Destiny, and all someone has to say is, hey, you can play in your web browser. Just go here, sign up for a free 30-day trial.
It's free.
But don't you have to sign up for a trial to get an account now? They had it turned off before.
Not with free games. So if you like, it's weird. If I go, let's say that there's like Pac-Man, right?
Sure.
If I want to play Pac-Man, it's going to make me sign up for a trial. But if I try and play one of the free-to-play games, the real free-to-play games like Destiny 2, okay, or I can't remember the other free-to-play game that we have right now. If I try and do that, I guess that it does not ask you to sign up for a trial. So you could just straight up start playing. You just got to make your username and stuff.
Okay. I thought that was only done through a link on the actual Destiny subsite where you had to click a specific link to not get bugged to create an account with a credit card. I could be wrong. The ability to get in and play is way less on Stadia than it is any other platform. You can create an account, however you have to create that account, whether it's with a credit card or not, doesn't matter. But your friends can join you within about 10 minutes instead of buying it on a platform, waiting for the download, or downloading the free version on another platform, waiting for the huge download. They can get in super quick on Stadia and join your game pretty much immediately, which is huge.
Yeah, it's a really good game, and I'm glad that it's gonna bring more people together. I think that's always a good thing.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, and it's one of the visions of Stadia. They said they want you to be able to play cross platform with your friends with very little issues getting in the way. Now that's kind of becoming a reality for a lot of games, which is great because Destiny is still one of the most played games out there. So being able to play with your friends on other platforms is going to be huge for a lot of people.
And everybody in chat is like, they're saying, don't forget about Super Bomberman R Online and Crayta are also free to play games on Stadia. All right.
Yep.
So while we were talking about video games, there were people sending in super chats. This is the crowd play section of the show where we respond to all of that stuff. So first off, I got to say a huge thank you to Consino and Sammy in the Cloud. They sent in $100 and £100 respectively, as to support, as our, on our 100th episode. Thank you very, very much for that. That's absolutely crazy. Consino just said, congrats. And Sammy said 100 for 100. Congrats guys. It's been an epic journey so far. Thanks for helping inspire myself and others to get into content creation too. I wouldn't be where I am today without StadiaCast/NerdNest. Well, thank you guys very much for that. We were like, man, it's funny. Everybody was making fun of me in chat because I had the window closed while I was talking, and then I opened it up and my face, I guess I like reacted when I saw it. But
I did to the first one. I saw because the YouTube stream coming back is like 8 seconds delayed. So I did a double take. And then I started typing, and you could see that in the video where I double-taked on the first one from Consino. So, yeah, you people, you're insane. I appreciate you fine folks so damn much. You make doing this every Sunday morning a joy.
Absolutely. William Millard sent in a super chat for $10. He said, happy 100th, Bill and Lloyd. Thank you for sticking it out through this wild ride. Thank you very much for that. Johnny Simpson sent in 10 without a comment, but thank you. John McLaren said, thank you guys for being authentic and hanging in there. I, too, made a Drow Druid Baldur's Gate for the win. Lloyd, I got to ask you, what character class, when you do play that game, what character class are you going to play?
I did more of a kind of a roguey kind of character. Mm-hmm. I tend to like that in my RPGs. I like hitting people from very far so they don't hurt my face with their heavy weapons that they are swinging at my head. So I like to plink away from the darkness. So I was an elven ranger, I want to say. I can't remember the character classes that are in the game. When I actually play actual D&D, I'm usually something like a paladin or something. But when I play video game versions, it's more of a ranger, someone that's sneaky and can hide in the shadows and do damage that way.
Awesome. Those are always fun to play, too. And I like that they can often pick locks and stuff. Let's see. Art by Committee sent in congrats on the 100th episode. Thank you very much for that, Art by Committee. Kodiak Moonwolf, who is our mega mod over on our Discord server, thank you very much for sending in his super chat. He said, thank you, Bill and Lloyd, for being awesome. Congrats on 100 episodes. And for anyone still asking, the Nerdy Awards will happen eventually. Both Bill and Lloyd are busy people. Yeah, we so we did the Nerdy Awards, and the like, you guys voted and everything, and we know who the winners are, but Lloyd and I just never seem to have time to sit down and record together. There's always other things getting in the way, so we haven't been able to make the video announcing the winners of the Nerdy Awards, which actually just started because Kodiak was like, I'm curious what people are doing. And so he made a poll, and I was like, make it official, man. That sounds fun. And then Lloyd and I have been dropping the ball on that. So sorry about that. Consignos also, like, Consigno again. He said, one last thing. The last few articles all seem to agree on was Stadia paid a ridiculous amounts for a few games. We were all hoping that SG&E savings would help fund that stuff now. Thoughts? Well, because they stopped doing the first party stuff doesn't mean that this stuff is going to stop as well. I mean, they specifically said we're going to be working with our partners to bring more games to Stadia. Go ahead, Lloyd.
Yeah, so Stadia is a new platform. Every time that there's a new platform, there's these types of agreements that come out. But we haven't had a new platform for a while, not since the Xbox was the real new platform where the platform holder has to go out and say, okay, we would like you to bring your game of the year game to our platform. They come back and say, we don't want to bring our game to your platform because we're not going to make any money. Money is what makes us be able to make games. If we don't have the money, that would be bad for us. So then the platform holder says, hey, would this big comically large check that has a lot of zeros on it help you bring your game to the platform? And they go, yes, that would definitely help us bring the game to the platform. So it's pretty common. So for Stadia to offer, I think the Kotaku article or one of the articles, I can't remember which one, said that they were offering 10 to 10 million of millions of dollars to get a game over a game like Red Dead or Assassin's Creed Odyssey, makes 100% sense. That's what happens on a new platform. You need to seed the platform with the best games that are currently available to convince people to come over. That isn't for every single game, but I'm sure the original ones were paid very well to get them over. That type of stuff happens on every platform, even Sony and Microsoft right now. They've had a platform that is very, very fleshed out. They're still paying for exclusivity and advertising rights and all this other stuff. So exchanging large sums of money is common in the industry.
Yeah, and it was just announced the other day that Monster Hunter Rise is exclusive on the Nintendo Switch for 2 years, and then it's coming to PC. And well, it's coming to PC in 2022, so I guess one year. I forgot what year it is because it still feels like March 305,000 and whatever. Anyway, in 2022, Monster Hunter Rise will come on PC. So my guess is that Nintendo went to Capcom and they said, here's a bag of money. Please keep your game off other platforms temporarily so that we can, this is like Lloyd said, it's extremely common. But thank you very much for the support and the question, Consigno. Anthony Talcott just sent in a super chat. Holy cow, Ruben. All right, we'll get to that in a second. Anthony Talcott sent in a super chat. He said, can't remember the name, but a small game company needed help from fans to reach Google. Google should be the ones reaching out. Sorry, my mouse was covering it up. Even for indies, look at Valheim. I absolutely 100% agree. I remember in the Wii U era, there was somebody at Nintendo who was in charge of like indie development, basically getting people onto getting games onto the platform. And then for the Switch, they changed things up, and it was a new person, and they obviously it was working, like because the Switch has like thousands of games on it. So
yeah, it was actually different. Back pre-Switch, to get a game on the Nintendo Switch, you had to go through multiple layers of approval. You had to be approved to get a dev kit, meaning you had to show a game that Nintendo was excited about, and then you had to show multiple snapshots, and then you would get the ability to publish the game, but I don't believe you actually had the ability to set your pricing. So if you wanted to have a sale, you had to actually like talk to Nintendo to get the sale going. Mm-hmm. Their e-commerce platform, like on the Wii U and prior, was terrible. But on the Switch, they changed that. They made it so developers can control stuff themselves, and that if you sign up for a dev kit, you don't have to have every single thing approved now. So they've really changed the way that outreach was done, because in prior, you had people that would go out and find these indie games, fight for them, bring it to their corporate overlords and say, we really need this one. And hopefully they would get the nod, and then that game could come out. Thankfully, Nintendo's changed for the better and made it more like every other platform out there.
And so the reason I brought up Nintendo is because it shows what happens when you do it right. Because the Switch has so many games on it right now. Of course, that brings with it a problem of, you know, needle in a haystack of trying to find the good ones, because there's a lot of crap on the eShop. But it's definitely something like there should be a whole team of people at Google who their only job is to go out and find indie devs, third-party people, and make deals with them to get their games on the platform. And I every time that we do like a first look for a game that is not AAA, that people always in the YouTube comments every single time is that they say things like kiddie games like this aren't going to make Stadia better or whatever. And to those people, I would say, just shut up. Like, not every game has to be AAA. There's a lot of games out there that are fantastic that were not made by a team of hundreds of people for 7 years. There's a lot of games out there that are fantastic, even if they have cel-shaded, hand-drawn graphics or pixelated stuff. Like that kind of thing. Like, there needs to be a whole team of people at Google that's their job, is to go find those indie games, because indie games are awesome. And if you only play the AAA games, you're missing out.
That's where GDC in the past, previous years, not last year, probably not this year, where that was such a huge thing for indie devs. They would come with a game that they've been working on for years, and they would have it on a USB key, and they would just want to plug it in to the right executives community relations person to see the game and have their eyes light up. And it's like, oh my God, okay, the past couple of years have finally worth it. I have a publishing agreement. Sad that that's not going to probably happen this year. So yeah, I hope that with the shuttering of SG&E, Google can divert some of that money to having a better community outreach for developers, so that they can find these little gems and get them on Stadia in early access.
So people are in chat are responding to what I said. They're saying AAA games help grow the platform. Yes, they do. I'm not saying that I don't want AAA games. I'm saying that I also want these other types of games. You can have both things. You can have vanilla and chocolate ice cream on the same cone, and it can be really, really great. I don't understand these people that have, like, everything is zero sum. Everything is, I only want the games on a platform if it's a game that I'm going to play. And if it's not a game that I'm interested in, then I don't want it to exist. Like, that mentality is wildly, it's just bananas to me. I can't understand it.
Yeah, it's like you could build the best brick wall out of all these AAA bricks, but if you don't have the grout to hold it together, it's not going to be the best wall that has ever been made. And that's kind of what the stores are. You have the tentpole games that get people interested, but then you have all these nice little smaller priced, easy to get into games that that drive ownership on the platform.
That's right. Alex of K became a member. Thank you very much for that. And Ruben DeGeeling sent in a giant super chat as well. Thank you very much, Ruben, for supporting at that level. He says, 100th episode and my phone refuses to send pure 100. Ridiculous. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Couldn't send the amount that he wanted, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay. Well, but I appreciate the, we appreciate the support. Anyway, congratulations, Bill and Lloyd. Let's go for 100 more. Also, congratulations on the amazing cat track, the amazing community we have here. Go Nerd Nest. Thank you very much, Ruben. We do appreciate the support. And thank you to everybody. He also, he sent in another one. He goes, oh, and I forgot my question. Due to being overexcited, what do you guys expect would happen before show 200? What would make you absolutely excited? All right, well, show 200, if my math is correct, is roughly 2 years away. So, right. Lloyd, I'm going to let you start. What do you think?
The thing that would make me the most excited about show 200 is if we don't have the drama every single day and week anymore. If things have progressed past that, I don't care kind of what else happens as far as games coming out or whatever. But I'm just I'm a little tired of all the drama. So not having that would be a really good thing.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. Michael Mooney. Michael Mooney, I'll get to you in a second. For me, well, if you had asked, I don't know, a couple of months ago, I would have said I would like to see our cloud-native games that Stadia is working on. So obviously I can't say that now. I think that before episode 200, I would really like to see just... I would like to see Stadia becoming just like, oh, okay, well, it's just another place to play games. That's really what I think is the future. I know that people expect the moon when the game launches. They want everything to happen when the system launches, they wanted everything to happen at once. When in reality, it takes time to make that happen. Now, the reason people believe that is because in the past, that's what has to happen when you're talking about a console that has a finite life before they have to cut it off and make the new one. Mm-hmm. With Stadia, that's not the case because they're not selling me a box to put under my TV. So eventually, I do think that we're going to get there. And sure, maybe it's going to take a long time, but I think by the time we get to episode 200, I think mm-hmm. it's quite possible that, it's just going to be run of the mill that people are going to be talking about, oh yeah, I'm playing this game. Oh, what system's it on? Well, it's on PS4 PS5 and Xbox One and Stadia and PC and Nintendo Switch. And they're like, oh, well, where do you play? I'm playing it on Stadia. And it's not going to be like this huge holy war all the time. That's what I'm hoping for, Ruben. Thank you for the question. Michael Mooney sent in a super chat. They said Stadia still needs a Skunkworks team that makes small games that can only be done on Stadia, then teach others how. I don't disagree with that. I think that would be fantastic. Unfortunately, that's not what we have now, but it doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future.
From the article, we found out one of the things they're working on was a cloud powered like Tamagotchi virtual pet, and I'm like, that is weird. But then I started thinking a little bit more about it, and it could be an app that would launch on all devices, and it would be powered by Stadia, and you would just fire up a virtual Tamagotchi app on your phone, and it would remotely fire up a Stadia session with your user account and have your little virtual thing there. That would be a really cool way to do it, and also act as an advert game to other things you could do on Stadia. So while it was kind of crazy at the start, maybe it could have been cool. Of course, this is what I'm saying it's about. It obviously, I don't know what this game was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would be it, but I was thinking about ways that they could have made this really cool, and having something like that would just fire up a Stadia instance on a normal app that you're downloading would have been a really, really cool way to have like a virtual pet kind of thing happening.
I don't like virtual pet games. Don't make it. I'm sorry, I'm just trolling a little bit. All right, we did have other things that people had sent in, but we've been going for well over an hour, so I think it's time that we wrap up. Thank you everybody for the super chats and the support. You guys are absolutely amazing. We really do appreciate it, and we've been going for 100 episodes, and each and every time we fire up the show and we see you guys here waiting for us, it's always really exciting to have a conversation about video games and have you guys here with us. So thank you for joining us on StadiaCast for 100 episodes. You know, I didn't plan anything special but for 100 episodes because every episode is special thanks to you guys. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I agree. Each and every week, I've said it a number of times, but it can't be said enough. The support from the Stadia community, the Nerddesk community, people from our past podcasts that we've done, the support has just been humbling. This has really changed the way that I produce content. It changed the way that I podcast. It's changed a lot of ways for the better. The Stadia community really is good. Even though it has been very drama ridden over the last little bit, I think as a community, we'll get through this and we'll get to bigger and better things because a lot of people have called Stadia dead, said that the platform is dead and we're just going to eke out the next couple years of existence. I personally do not believe that. I do think Stadia will be around for us to do episode 200. And I can't wait to see what amazing tech brings. But more so, I just love the fact that I get to spend my Sunday mornings with all you awesome people chatting and cracking jokes and calling us out on things we say wrong. We appreciate each and every one of you.
That's right. So until we get to episode 200, this has been StadiaCast episode 100. And we'll call this one The Bald and the Beardy Full because he's got that long, epic beard. Bye, everybody.